Welcome to This Week in Brattleboro History,
produced by
the Brattleboro Historical Society
and
the Brattleboro Area Middle School.
Ira Spaulding was one of the first and youngest pilots in Vermont. He was born in 1892 and, early in 1912, graduated from the Curtis Aviation School in San Diego, California. At the age of 19, he was issued a pilot's license.
Ira grew up on Elliott Street and attended Brattleboro High School. He worked at Dunham Brothers for a time, but headed to California as soon as he had saved up enough money to pursue his dream of flying airships. During Ira's youth, daring young men across the country imagined themselves soaring through the air in the new flying machines designed and constructed by various inventors.
In 1904, Glenn Curtis manufactured motorcycle engines and held the motorcycle land speed record. Tom Baldwin jumped out of hot air balloons from dizzying heights and parachuted safely onto the ground in front of large audiences. They joined forces to connect a Curtis motorcycle engine to a cigar-shaped Baldwin hot air balloon and created the first American dirigibles.
In 1907, Curtis was recruited by Alexander Graham Bell to design aircraft. Plane design was in its infancy. Most planes were based on the Wright brothers' success of a few years earlier. Constant modifications were made to address issues of stability, distance, and speed. By 1909, Curtis had left Bell and was building his own planes. In 1910, Baldwin and Curtis collaborated again to construct planes with more powerful engines and stronger frames.
Curtis and the Wright brothers each opened aviation schools for young men interested in joining this new industry. Aircraft exhibitions were becoming big businesses. People came out in large numbers to see pilots fly winged machines hundreds of feet into the air, perform stunts, and take passengers for short jaunts around the fairgrounds.
Exhilaration, wonder, and danger were elements that drew people to the performances. Each new design was an experiment that would play itself out in front of hundreds of people. A variable that could not be controlled was the weather. Planes that performed flawlessly in calm skies could become very unstable when winds picked up.
In 1912, 19-year-old Ira Spaulding, fresh from California and sporting a new pilot's license, entered into a business agreement with local Brattleboro entrepreneur Neil Clausen. Clausen operated a business college on Main Street. The college specialized in typing and sonography skills. Clausen decided to branch out and create the Clausen Hamilton Aviation Company. He wanted to make Brattleboro an aviation center.
One of his first decisions was to appoint Ira Spaulding vice president of the company. They traveled to New York and met with Glenn Curtis. Their goal was to purchase a few planes to begin the new business. The company bought a plane that was a Baldwin modification of a Curtis design. It was more powerful and heavier than early Curtis biplanes. This was a dangerous business. A year earlier, an exhibition pilot in the Midwest had crashed and been killed while flying a Baldwin Curtis biplane.
Ira Spaulding first flew for Brattleboro on May 10, 1912. The local newspaper said he began the flight from a Putney Road farm. He flew over Coles Park on Chestnut Hill, then passed over Prospect Hill and finally landed on the fairgrounds. It was reported that chickens throughout the town began clucking loudly and running for their coops. The paper suggested the birds imagined a giant noisy hawk was soaring low to the ground and they decided to run for cover.
The plan was for Spaulding to offer a flying exhibition the next day. 2,000 paying spectators came to the fairgrounds to see Spaulding fly their red and gray biplane around the area. Unfortunately, the wind was too strong and Spaulding did not feel comfortable taking the biplane into the air. The crowd was upset and people demanded their money back. It was an awkward beginning for the company. Spaulding promised he would try again the following week.
A week later, the wind was still blowing, but Spaulding decided to fly away. The biplane lifted safely off the fairgrounds and rose about 25 feet in the air. However, the wind shifted, Spaulding lost control, and the biplane crashed to the ground. Spaulding escaped with minor scrapes, but the biplane was crushed.
The Clausen Hamilton Aviation Company was attempting to attract people to flying exhibitions and start a flight school. They traveled to Athol, Massachusetts to put on a flying exhibition, but Spaulding crashed again. He swore then that he was done with flying. Clausen talked him into performing at a 4th of July gathering in Glens Falls, New York.
The Glens Falls Post-Star reported that 900 spectators waited for more than an hour for Spaulding to begin his flight. The wind was strong and the crowd began calling him a coward and a cheat. The paper wrote,
quote, "With wind still blowing, the courageous young birdman was practically forced into flirting with almost certain death. About 12 feet off the ground, traveling about 60 miles an hour, he crashed into a barn. The machine was wrecked and Spalding severely cut and bruised about the head, arms, and lower limbs. That he was not instantly killed is due to the fact that before impact he jumped from the machine, but in so doing was hurled against the barn with terrific force. After the incident, Spalding stated that he had made his last flight, unquote.
The Clausen Hamilton Aviation Company went out of business soon after this incident. Baldwin stopped making his biplanes a year later and went back to dirigibles.
Ira Spalding became an electrician and may have stayed away from aviation if not for the coming of World War I. In 1917, Ira left Brattleboro and went to work for Glenn Curtis. Curtis had a plane manufacturing business in Pennsylvania, and the military was very interested in the aeroplanes he was building. Curtis needed people who understood flying and engineering. The government took over the Curtis Aviation School in California to train pilots for the war, and Ira was transferred in San Diego to teach young men how to fly. In 1918, Ira took engineering courses at MIT.
Eventually, Ira would join the Navy and rise to the rank of lieutenant. He would serve until 1922. During that time, he was a flight instructor, helped with the plane design and manufacture, and served as a test pilot. He specialized in the planes Curtis designed for the U.S. Navy.
In 1920, Lieutenant Spalding led a test flight squadron of F-5 L flying boats from California to the Panama Canal. At the time, it was the longest mission taken by the class of airship. In 1921, he tested an experimental pontoon planes designed to drop bombs on German boats confiscated during World War I. Later in 1921, he was in a major accident as an experimental plane went into a tailspin and crashed from a height of 1,000 feet. One crew member was killed. Ira lost two teeth, broke an ankle, injured his back, and had multiple cuts and bruises. In 1922, he was honorably discharged from the military because he was medically unfit for service. He suffered severe back and head pain as well as kidney and stomach problems. Ira Spalding was 30 years old.
Ira would physically struggle for the rest of his life. He tried to return to electrician's work, but could not handle the physical stress. In 1924, he looked to rejoin the Navy as a pilot, and his medical exam found him fit for service. However, he didn't feel his body could take the punishment.
Ira sold cars for a time and worked as a foreman of an energy company. Work became debilitating. Headaches, backaches, physical weakness, and stomach ailments persisted. Ira had a $10,000 military disability insurance policy and attempted to collect on the insurance. He had multiple doctors explain that he was unfit for work and should be able to claim the disability. The doctors believe his medical issues stemmed from the injuries he experienced while in the U.S. Navy. He was operated on in 1922, 1923, 1925, and 1927 for kidney and stomach issues.
The case went all the way to the United States Supreme Court. In 1935, the Supreme Court decided in favor of the military. According to the court, Ira was not entitled to the $10,000 total disability insurance claim because he had decided to work in order to support his family. His doctors testified that he worked at various jobs against their orders and shortened his life by adding stress to his damaged internal organs. Ira Spalding died at the age of 58.
We'd like to thank Jackson, Oscar, Jordan, Anna, Steph, Seamus, Ari, Kennedy, Rose, Brielle, Phil, David, and Vader for reading This Week in Brattleboro History.
Please join us next week for another story from our community's past.